Matthew chapter 5, we'll start there. We're going to move around quite a bit in Scripture today. We'll be in Matthew chapter 5 here in just a moment. We are 1 week into another new year. Now, many of us may have made New Year's resolutions. Most of us will not keep those New Year's resolutions. How many of you have made resolutions? Just a couple. They're not even real popular anymore. And it was still early, so you still have time, if you want to make some. You know, the typical New Year's resolutions tend to be, I'll eat less and I'll exercise more, or I'll spend less, I'll save more, maybe I'll stop doing this or stop doing that, and of course, a big one, I'll lose weight, And so I don't have a problem losing weight. I have a problem finding it again so easily. Yeah, it's like it tracks me down, and I find it. See, resolutions can be made any time, all right? You don't have to wait for the new year. And, if you're one of those who think that resolutions can only be made on the new year, then maybe one of the resolutions you should make would be not to be quite so legalistic, right? Yeah, all right. Now, what type of resolutions should we make and keep? Well, let's go to Scripture to be our guide for this. I'm going to start in Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 to 48. One of the resolutions that we ought to make all the time, anytime, is to love one another. All right? Matthew chapter 5, find verse 43. Says, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Now Christ commands us to do something that is quite difficult to do. Not only are we to love our enemies, but we're also to pray for them. And the things we pray for them are supposed to be good things. We don't pray for our enemies and say, "Lord, oh, I see him crossing the street. Oh, Lord, speed that truck up, would you please?" That's not the kind of prayers for our enemies we're supposed to be praying. Maybe you have a hard time really praying for somebody who has physically or emotionally hurt you. I mean, it's hard enough to love somebody that is your enemy, but to ask God to bless them also seems to be too much. See, God's created all people in his image, good and bad, and although that image is marred by sin, it still exists. Before you were saved, someone, and it might have been somebody that you hurt physically or emotionally, may have prayed for you. They may have prayed for your salvations and blessings for you. It may be because of that prayer that you are saved today, if you are saved. Because of the love of the Father in heaven, because of your acceptance of Jesus Christ by faith as your Savior, we are sons and daughters of God. We are to act differently than the world acts. We are to set the example and show the light and love of Jesus Christ in us. So before we were saved, even, God loved us. And he gives us this commandment that now that we are his, we are to love as he loved. Now that we are saved, not only not only does God love us, but he calls us to love. And he calls us to love and forgive our enemies. So if we're going to make a resolution, let's make a resolution that we love others and we pray for their salvation if they're not saved. See, Jesus says everyone, and he means just that. Everyone. Doesn't matter, male or female, young or old, skin color, culture, religion, all that doesn't matter. We're to pray for them, and there are none that we are not to love, and there are none that we are not to pray for. Now, we're not to love their sin, but we are to love that person because God created them as he created us. He tells us to do this. So if we are going to make a resolution, let's make a resolution to obey the Lord and love and pray, especially for those who might be considered our enemies. Now, as a subset of this love one another, husbands in Ephesians 5, 25 to 27, it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. It goes on that he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. See, husbands, the Bible tells us a lot about marriage, but we're not going to talk all about that today. I mean, let's review a little bit. How much does Christ love the church? He loved the church enough that he took on all of our sins. He carried all of those sins to the cross where he willfully, willingly died for us. I can't think of a higher love, a higher display of love than this. Christ suffered greatly hanging on that old rugged cross until he gave his last breath. And it was my sin, it was your sin that nailed him to that cross. That is a demonstration of his true love for us. Now, in that same way, gentlemen, we are to love our wives. Next to God, our wives must be the most important thing in our lives. You say, well, you don't know my wife. She's impossible. Well, Jesus doesn't say to love them only when they're easy to love, right? I mean, even lost people can do that. I mean, gentlemen, do you really think you're easy to love? Have you met you? You know? We need to remember that God loves us unconditionally. His love for us never fails. And we are to love our wives that same way, unconditionally, forever. So if we need to make a resolution, gentlemen, let's make one to love our wives as Christ loved his church. He emptied himself for his wife, the church. We need to empty ourselves for our wives. Now, wives, it goes on in Ephesians 5:33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and see that the wife, she reverence her husband. See, wives, your husbands need encouragement and support and love. I mean, let's be honest, women, your husbands are basically just big boys, okay? That's what we are. Your husband should love you whether you respect him or not, and you should respect him whether he loves you or not. It doesn't matter if it's reciprocated. It is commanded that you do this. If you want your husband to change for the better, then lift him up in prayer, encourage him, support his efforts, and love him even when he is hard to love, and your husband will be hard to love. You trust God to change him. See, God doesn't need your help or your advice or your input. See, this is respect. And wives, if you're going to make a resolution, make the resolution to love and respect your husbands. Second resolution we could make. If you want to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4, I'm going to read it to you. Deuteronomy chapter 4, it's verses 9 and 10. Another resolution we ought to make, if we're going to make one, is to raise your kids that in such a fashion as that they will honor and glorify God. Raise your kids the way God says raise your kids. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9 says, "Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons." Verse 10, "Especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, Gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children." You realize that parents and grandparents, as the grandparents are involved, they are stewards, managers of children and grandchildren. The Lord cautions us to be careful that we don't forget what God has done for us and to make sure that we pass down our faith to our children and our grandchildren. God has given each parent the responsibility to train up their children in the Lord. It is your responsibility and yours alone. You can't pass this on to somebody else. See, God has plans for your kids, and He expects you to cooperate with Him. It's sad to see some of that fail. It needs to be done today more than ever. It's important for your kids to see you pray. It's important for your kids to see you read Scripture. It's important for your kids to see that God is the number one priority in your life, but it's also important that your children see you live Christ-like. Father once said to his son, "You'd better get ready. The bus will be here in a minute to pick you up and take you to Sunday school." The boy asked, "Did you go to Sunday school when you were a boy?" The father replied, "Well, yes, yes, I did." The boy said as he was getting dressed, "Well, probably won't do me any good either." That's what happens when our children don't see us living Christ-like. That little boy was saying something about how much church had made an impact or a lack of impact in his parents' life. See, that's the sermon that the kids remember. They want to find out what's important, and they'll find out what's important from you as a parent. See, a man named Don Highlander once said that as parents, we are working in partnership with God to bring our children from a self-centered lifestyle to a God and other-centered basis for living. Our goal, it says, Charles Stanley said this, our goal is to produce responsible adults who are able to function independently of parents' authority, yet wholly committed to God's authority. So if you're going to make a resolution, resolve to raise your kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Thirdly, if you're still in Matthew, look over in chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. Another resolution that we can make is a resolution to forgive. Matthew chapter 6, look at verse 14. "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Is there anyone in your life which you hold a grudge against? Has somebody done something to you that you just cannot forgive? Do you keep bringing it up, the things that hurt you? Do you keep bringing them up from the past? Jesus tells us that we must forgive others for all the wrong that's been done to us. And if God can forgive us, no matter what we have done to offend His holiness, then we are to do the same for others. The Bible tells us that when we ask for forgiveness from God, He forgives us. He doesn't remember those sins. He says that they're as far as the east is from the west. And the point is there, that word picture is that the east and the west never meet. So God doesn't remember our sins. He's not going to bring them up again and use them against us. We only need to ask forgiveness for the sin, and it's done. God will not remember it any longer. And we are to do the same when we forgive someone. Now, since we can't forget the way God can, we'll have to forgive over and over and over again every time it comes up. But God says to forgive. God can forget. We can't forget. And it may take a long time for that offense to come to mind where you don't want to do something about it. But every time it comes up, you may have to forgive them again and forgive them again. But that's what you must do. Let's say that a friend borrowed your car and wrecked it 10 years ago, and you said that you forgave him. So let's say that he comes to you today and asks to borrow the car, and you confront him about wrecking your car 10 years ago. Then you've not forgiven him. To forgive is to let go of your right to retribution. It's to let go of your right for vengeance. It's to let go of your right to expect repayment for the offense. Just as God forgives our sins, we are to do the same to others. And again, if we need to make a resolution, let's make one to forgive those, to not hold grudges. Let them off the hook and free yourself. Fourthly, let's make a resolution to fulfill the Great Commission. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Talked about it in Sunday school, talked about it last week. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. Have you been fulfilling your part of the Great Commission? See, this wasn't just for the disciples. This is a command for all believers. We're to go out and tell others about the love and saving grace of Jesus Christ, that they need to repent of their sins and turn to Christ to be saved. I mean, how many non-believers have you told about Jesus last year? How many opportunities, like we said last week, how many opportunities did you miss last year? You are saved today because somebody told you the good news of Jesus Christ. Somebody told you that you were a lost sinner in need of a Savior. Might have been a pastor, Sunday school teacher, family member, maybe a complete stranger, but somebody told you. We are to tell others about Christ. The harvest is great, especially in this town. The laborers are few. So let's make a resolution this year that we will tell a different person about Christ. Set a number. If you have a lot of public exposure, say, I'm going to tell somebody about Christ every day. If that's too much, I'm going to tell somebody about Christ every week. Okay, if that's still too much, at least do something. Once a month, I will tell somebody about Christ. At least do something. It'll only take a few minutes. But the reward is greater than anything you could have experienced. And God could use you to change the eternal destination of somebody's soul. Number five, let's resolve to give God what is His. It's His anyways. Call it the three T's. Okay. T number one is tithe. Money. Oh, yes. 1 week in, I'm talking about money already. Yeah. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 8. Paul is writing them, 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 8, he says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. Basic truth, yeah. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Verse 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful, that word cheerful, better translated hysterical. Now, why would God want a hysterical giver, not a grudging giver or a necessary giver? It's because you're giving as you've purposed in your heart. You're giving as God has led you, and you know that if God doesn't come through, you are done. That if God doesn't provide, you are toast. You are burnt toast. But you can give hysterically because you trust God and you know that you can trust God. And you give excited about the way He is going to provide for you. Verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Verse 9, as it is written, he that disperseth abroad, he hath given to the poor, the righteous remaineth forever. So the first T is tithe. What's the purpose of the tithe? Well, Malachi 3 says that they gave in support of the priests. The priests represented God and his work, says in Malachi 3:10. But see, God's work is not limited just to supporting the church staff, okay? It supports evangelistic endeavors. It supports missionaries, teaching Bible studies and youth groups. It provides a place to worship. It provides teaching materials. It provides training for you so that you can become better, more skilled at leading people to the Lord. The attitude that we had should have, again, is a cheerful one, a free-giving one, because we have to understand that the money we have, the materials we have, they're not ours to begin with. They all belong to God. He's loaning them to us. And says, well, how much should I give? Well, there's been a lot of discussion about how much money you should give. Well, the tithe, you know, how do you calculate that? Well, the Bible's clear. The tithe is 10% of your first fruits or your gross income. But again, we're not just preaching about tithing. Bible tells us that the more we give, the more we will receive. So sure, yeah, start with the tithe, start with the 10%, then as you grow in grace, let your giving reflect that growth. You don't give because the church needs your money. Okay, that's not why you give. You give because God tells you to, because God promises to bless you, because you need the opportunity to learn to trust God that giving provides. The second T is talents. Tithe, talents. Romans 12, 6 through 8 says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, that he may show with mercy, with cheerfulness. The point is here that we have all been blessed by God with gifts or talents, and we are to take those gifts and talents and put them to use by giving them back to God to use in the setting that you are placed in. In other words, to surrender our all to Him and become a vessel for Him to use any way He sees fit. See, no spiritual gift, no talent you have is given to you for your benefit or for your glory or to make you look good. It is to be used for the building up, the edifying, the encouraging of God's people. If God has given you the talent to teach, then you need to be teaching somewhere. We'll find some place for you to teach. If you can sing, then you need to be a part of the music ministry. If you like to serve, then you need to jump in and help someplace and do it. And come talk to me afterwards. We have some ideas. We will put you to work. Whatever gift or talent God has blessed you with, you are to give back to Him by using the very thing that He has blessed you with to be an encouragement to everybody else. So make a resolution that you'll use your gift and talents this year for God's kingdom, the building of God's kingdom. The third T, tithe, talents, time. Still back in Matthew chapter 5, if you look at verse 13 to 16. Matthew 5, 13, ye are the salt of the earth. But the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under the foot of men. Verse 14 says, you're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. God has told us, believers, Christians, those who carry the name of Christ, that we are salt and we are light. In order for us to be effective, it means that you and I must be willing to give God our time. To give God our time means that we are willing to be 100% completely committed, submitted to God the Father. The sad thing is that a lot of us have a problem when it comes to commitment of our time to the Lord. Often we find it easier to give money than it is to give time. There's things I want to do. There's things I like to do. And if I'm doing stuff for the church, I can't do the stuff I like to do. We need to give back to God what is His. And our time is His. The reason it is His time is because He is the one who has placed you on earth. He is the one who has created you. He, the God of time, put you in time. So the question becomes then, are you committed to Him? Are you giving God your time is your most precious thing. It's not really even yours. It still belongs to God. Are you giving Him time in your life to read the Scriptures, to pray? Are you taking time to be obedient? Are you giving Him time in His church? In other words, are you serving Him anywhere? If not, you need to get involved. I've always thought that people really don't have a right to complain about what's going on in church until they've, started serving in the church, right? Yeah. That's like complaining about food at a restaurant you never eat at. If you think you can add something, and you can add something, if you think you can add something to the ministry here and make it better, then get involved and give God the opportunity to use you to bless others. Make the resolution that you will give your time to God first, that He gets first dibs on your time. Now, we've talked about resolving to love one another. We've mentioned resolving to pass our faith to our children and grandchildren. We've spent time on resolving to forgive as the Lord has forgiven us. We've spoken on fulfilling the Great Commission, resolving to do that, sharing Christ with the lost. We've heard about resolving to give God what is rightfully His to begin with, the tithe, the talents, the time. Let me turn the tables on you here if I can. Do you notice that each of these suggested resolutions are things that the Lord has already commanded that we're to be doing all the time, already, with no special fanfare like a resolution? See, by resolving to do these things, we are doing so what we're already supposed to be doing. All right? So let's be honest here. Do you really need a resolution to obey God? I mean, really, can we not obey Jesus' command simply, not because we made a resolution, but can we not obey Him simply because we love Him? He does say that if we love Him, the proof, the evidence of our love for Him will be our keeping of His commandments. So all the things we covered this morning have been commanded by our Lord and Savior already. We're already to be doing these. So if we need to make a resolution, if making one will help us, then let's resolve simply to be obedient to our God. Let's resolve that we will follow Him in obedience this year, no matter the cost, no matter the pain, no matter the humiliation, no matter the inconvenience, no matter what we think we're losing out on, no matter what we think we'll do without. Why don't we make that resolution? Stand with me, if you would, with your heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, this morning we, Lord, we need your help. We are a needy people. You know our frame. You know that we are but dust. Lord, while our spirit desires spiritual things, the spirit is willing. Lord, our spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak. It's anesthetized. It's asleep to the things that concern you, and it is often our greatest enemy. Father, we need your help even to resolve to obey your commands. But thank you, Father, for the encouragement that whatever you command us to do, you enable us to do. When you give us a commandment, you enable us to obey. And we thank you for that strength. We thank you for that encouragement. Because that means, Lord, that we are capable of glorifying you with our obedience. We are capable of showing you that we love you by keeping your commands. Lord, thank you that we can do that. But we know it's not us, but it's you working in us. It's Christ in us, our hope of glory. It's your Holy Spirit enlivening us, strengthening us, giving us the capacity and ability to do what pleases you. So Lord, help us. This is our prayer this morning, Lord. Just help us obey you this year in whatever capacity it is that you call us to. Lord, strengthen us to be obedient children, to be real, actual, in a practical, day-to-day manner, be followers of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For we pray in his name, amen. If you remain standing, I want you to grab your hymn book, 131. 131. Sing the first and the last, 131, Jesus Paid It All.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. On the fourth, and when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Had left the crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Mike, could you close us in prayer today, please?
Blessing on everyone that's here, those that couldn't come, all of us, Lord, we pray for your help and your grace throughout the week that's in front of us. We pray and we commit ourselves to you. We ask these things in Christ's precious name.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Amen.